We'd like to take a further reading from Romans, at this time just a couple of verses from Romans chapter 5. Just the opening two verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. May God bless the reading and hearing of His word. This coming month of October marks the 500th anniversary of what we today know as the Protestant Reformation. It was on the 31st of October 1517 that the German monk Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg in Germany. It was this act, courageous act, that is normally identified with starting the Reformation. Apparently it was largely through his reading and indeed his preaching through Paul's letter to the Romans that led him to rediscover the great biblical doctrine of justification by faith. The truth that men and women are made right, justified in the sight of a holy God, not by works of righteousness which they have done or which have been done on them, but by a personal faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And I thought this morning that I would lead you in a brief look at this pivotal doctrine of our Christian faith. And I want to do so in part by referring to our shorter catechism. We are fortunate as a church and a denomination to have a confession of faith and to have a larger and a shorter catechism. I don't know what's the situation now in Brookside, but there was a time when the shorter catechism was known. And we often talked about being brought up on our catechism. But maybe that's not so today. Question 33 of the Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is justification? And here's the answer. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Note then what justification is. It is principally an act of God. That is, it is something that God does for us, something that we cannot do ourselves. And it's described as an act of God in the sense that it was done once for all. And so perfect and complete was it that it doesn't need to be repeated. It is an act of God. And it's an act of God's free grace. You may be aware that those who drew up our confession and catechisms, that they provided scriptural proofs of what they were teaching. And the proof text of this part of their definition of justification is what we read in Romans 3, verse 24. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And the marvel of this tremendous doctrine is this, that what you and I could never do for ourselves, God has done for us in Christ. And the beauty of the gospel message is simply this, that our salvation, our redemption, our justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And as Paul says in Romans 3:27, there's no room for boasting there. It's all a matter of God and His amazing grace. But what does God do for us when He justifies us freely by His grace? Well, two things. He pardons all our sins. We stand before a holy God condemned for our sins. We are guilty before Him. We cannot hide. We cannot pretend that they're not there. For they are, and we know it, and certainly God knows it. But when He justifies us freely by His grace, He pardons all our sins. And you note that illustration from the calculator. All of them, every single one of them, from the worst, everyone blotted out, cancelled, no longer held against us. I love those words of the hymn writer Philip Bliss. My sins, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins, not in part, but the whole, all of them, every single one of them, are nailed to His cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He pardons all our sins. Then He restores us to His family. We become His adopted sons and daughters. We are more than just forgiven sinners. We are now children of God. And on what grounds does God do all this amazing stuff for us? How does He do it? Well, our catechism reminds us that first of all, He imputes or reckons to our account the righteousness of Christ. Just as my sins are laid on Jesus and He bears them and bears the guilt and the punishment that was due to me. Likewise, in a tremendous exchange, His righteousness is imputed to me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that in Him we might be made the righteousness of God. My sins are laid on Him, and His righteousness is laid on me. Tremendous. And is received by faith alone. Verse 22 of Romans 3, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all that Jesus has accomplished on the cross must become effective, personal in each of our lives. And that happens when the Holy Spirit works to convict us of our sin and to enable us and persuade us to embrace the Lord Jesus. And it's in an act of personal faith that we are justified. To go to catechism again, faith in Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive Him and rest upon Him alone for salvation. And as I share this with you this morning, I do so to warm the hearts of those of you who are Christians, but to challenge those of you who are not yet. Justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And to have faith in Christ means that we have received Him. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Have you ever received Christ in a personal act of response? But then it also means that we rest upon Him alone. All our future depends on Christ. All on Christ, the solid rock we stand. Because, friends, all other ground is sinking sand. And the rediscovery of this great, pivotal doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ brought with it many other great spiritual blessings and benefits. And that's why I read from Romans 5, where Paul outlines three of these tremendous blessings that come to those who are justified. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have access into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. And this is an objective peace. It's something that we have and which can never be taken away from us. We can never be robbed of it. It is quite independent of our feelings, of our moods. God, by justifying us freely by His grace, has removed all the barriers that were erected by our sin, all the enmity, and has freely pardoned us from all our sins and granted us His peace. And you'll note that it's through faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, you simply can't enjoy this great spiritual blessing unless you have faith in the Lord Jesus. Without such personal faith, you are not justified. You remain guilty and condemned before God. All of those sins that mount up over the years, they remain. They are not blotted out. No faith in Christ means no peace with God. But then secondly, we have gained access into this grace in which we stand. If the blessing of peace with God is a blessing for our past, then access to His grace is a blessing for the present. His all-sufficient grace, sufficient for all our needs. There's a lovely phrase in Romans 5:17, God's abundant provision of grace. All the grace that you will ever need, we have now access to it. It is there for us. And thirdly, We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, verse 2. Hope for the future. I hope is one of those words that have largely lost its original meaning. We think today of hope in the realm of what is uncertain. I hope it's not raining when I get out of church this morning. But it might be pouring. I don't know. I'm unsure, uncertain. But the Christian hope is not uncertain. J.B. Phillips paraphrases that phrase in this way. We rejoice in happy certainty of the glorious things he has for us in the future. Friends, how else can we rejoice in it if it is uncertain? The Shorter Catechism also has a question about the blessings and benefits of our salvation, and it lists among them this one, the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace indeed. Peace with God concerning our past, however dark and bleak and sinful it may have been. Access into abundant grace for every need today. My grace is sufficient for you, says Jesus. And the happy certainty that one day we will see the Master and we will be with him forever. The great doctrine rediscovered by Martin Luther 500 years ago. In the coming weeks leading up to October and indeed beyond, you will have good cause to give God thanks for Martin Luther and indeed John Calvin for their brave stand for these important gospel truths. That we are justified in the sight of God through a personal act of faith in the Lord Jesus and in his finished work on the cross. And as a result of that, we have peace with God, we have access to grace, and we have a sure and a certain hope. I want to ask you this morning if you have such an assurance. Have you saving faith in the Lord Jesus? No faith in him means you're not justified. You're still condemned. No peace. No all-sufficient grace. And certainly, certainly no hope of glory. Why not, if you haven't done it before, receive him so that for the rest of your days you will rest upon him alone as he's once again offered to you in the gospel. Let us pray. Quietly make your response to God's word. Rejoice and give thanks if you are justified. But if not yet, then why not make this the day when all of this will become real and true, justified freely by his grace. Lord, thank you for for your word. Thank you for your amazing patience with us. Grant that your Holy Spirit will grant us no ease, no peace, until we have made our peace with you. And this we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.